Welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chas Brada, and joining me, James Bitter's back, and Austin Tark. Austin, when was the last time? Probably like British. No, you didn't do British Open with me.
Guess who's back? Back again. We're fucking back. Sharp Side's back, baby. Yeah, it has been a while for me. But yeah, pumped. Week one, baby.
I'm ready to roll. I am excited. I cannot wait to watch. This is a recording on Thursday. We're about 2 hours, 20 minutes-ish from Thursday Night Football. So I'm ready to roll. Tom Brady's about to put up 40 on the Cowboys. Going to make some money. It'll be good. James, I believe you came in last year. I just kind of want to hear your mindset heading into this year. You know, new year, are we changing anything?
Well, first, Chaz, for our new listeners, describe what our process is and what the competition is as the year goes on.
Sure. So we have entered a super contest. The three of us each get a best bet. It's normally like a first come, first serve kind of thing, just whoever texts, okay, I want the for example, I want the Vikings first. There you go. We just kind of, it's kind of like a competition between the three of us, see who has the best record at the end of the year. And then we will just kind of like come to a decision at the end of each podcast on the other two picks. This year, I believe, are we a winner gets a free round at Torrey Pines Golf Course?
I'm in.
I didn't hear that until now, but all right.
All right. Sounds good. Sweet. Putting a little stakes behind it. But Austin is the defending champion.
Thank you.
Congratulations. I choked. I had a gigantic lead.
Yeah, I remember talking shit to James the whole time, and I somehow ended up in first place. So yeah. I felt pretty good.
We did have a very successful overall year last year. We cashed in our contest. I'm looking forward to doing it again this year. I completely removed that from my mind at before kind of coming into the season, and now I'm really excited to follow along with the super contest. So New season, COVID is not really bucking its head anymore this year. Not really. We might still have a couple players or coaches out with COVID from time to time. But what do you think changes this year? James, we'll start with you.
I think there's a lot that changes. Are you just talking like game to game, or like just atmospheres, or just like big picture?
You decide.
Well, the first thing for me is just going to be fans back. It's like just seeing in like college football and other sports, it's making an absolutely huge difference. And if there are no fans, and we saw some teams last year were really good on the road, and other teams kind of struggled at home. They're usually pretty good at home. So I'm curious to see, with fans back, does that continue, or does it kind of regress back to the norm?
Austin, what about you?
Same thing. Completely agree with that. Home field advantage is going to play a much bigger factor this season. But then we also do still have to pay attention to the guys who are going to be out for COVID. I mean, because this, with the new variant and with teams, some players vaccinated, some people not, the fact that you can still get COVID even if you are vaccinated, players are still going to miss time. And it's just going to be the type of thing where sometimes you'll get really lucky on a line, and then other times you might just get screwed because a star player has it. So just something to look out for as the year goes on.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I, like last year, like the overs were hitting at a crazy, crazy rate. I feel like we're going to see a little more suppressed totals, just because I feel like with the lack of home field advantage made it a bit easier for road teams to score. Agreed. So, I don't know, just something to keep an eye on. Just kind of going through before we get into our best bets and then the rest of the games, just, I imagine we'll kind of combine, like with whatever our thoughts are on the game with, our outlook on the team for this season. So just keep that in mind when you're listening along. But Austin, you were the leader in the clubhouse last year.
Woo.
You get to start us off first, and your best bet is the Minnesota Vikings laying 3 on the road at the Cincinnati Bengals with a total of 47. Austin, where are we looking there?
definitely I'm looking at the Vikings minus three. I was hoping to get under a field goal, but not the end of the world. I'm coming into the season pretty low on the Bengals. I'm still not a Zach Taylor believer. I've also heard a lot of things out of camp saying that this Bengals offense isn't looking very good, particularly Jamar Chase, who's having a lot of drops. I've heard he's even losing snaps to Auden Tate, who's their fourth wideout on the team. So just not much to buy into on this Bengals squad. On the other hand, I'm buying into the Vikings. I think there's a lot of things that didn't go their way last year, such as defensive injuries. They lost a lot of one-score games. And then in particular, their team have a really strong home field advantage. I know that doesn't play a factor for this game, but for their season total, with fans back in the stadium, I think that's going to help them quite a bit. What I really like about this Vikings team is the fact that they added their defensive lineman is back. They got Hunter, Griffin, and Pierce back. I saw they have Sheldon Richardson. They got Weatherly. Their D-line should be able to feast, and especially on a Bengals team that has a really weak offensive line. Their one flaw last year, the biggest one, was the fact that their secondaries was pretty weak, and they didn't add too many pieces. They did add Patrick Peterson, which, as Chaz and I were talking, doesn't exactly move the needle. The same time, the Viking Zimmer's defense is a difficult one to learn. And with these young corners having another year of experience, the secondary most likely will be better. And I just think in a game such as this, it won't play too much of a factor considering how much under pressure Burrow will be. Another thing is Trey Wayne, the main cornerback for the Bengals, is out. Eli Apple's going to fill in, who was cut twice last year for being out of shape. So good luck guarding Thielen or Justin Jefferson. I just think the Vikings are going to be able to get theirs and the Bengals won't be able to keep up. So I think Vikings minus three is a pretty solid bet.
Yeah. Love the handicap. I do agree with the Viking side here. One thing that I think is kind of interesting about Eli Apple, I'm pretty sure he led the league in pass interferences last year, or like pass interference rate. So
I like that more.
Just great news. James, what are your thoughts on this game?
This was actually my second favorite play. I completely agree. In addition to what you said, I've also heard there are still some concerns about Burrow recovering from the ACL and just like a complete, basically reconstructive knee surgery. So if he can't move in the pocket or use his legs, which is actually like a pretty big part of his game, I think it really hinders that offense, which kind of leads me to this under. I think the Bengals will take more of a run first approach to preserve Burrow in this game and just kind of just worry about his longevity of the season. So I see this clock just melting the entire game. I think the Vikings just kind of cruise to the win.
Yeah, I agree. And overall, I'm not buying into Zach Taylor. I mean, I imagine that's a pretty popular sentiment, but for a coach who has never shown any promise, really. So like, he was one of like the McVay assistants who, because he was a McVay assistant, he got a job. But like you could see it right away with Kyle Shanahan. You could see it right away with Sean McVay and like all these like really young kind of guys. And Zach Taylor is kind of in the Adam Gase tier. Maybe that's a little unfair to him, but it's just I haven't seen anything, whether it's like being competitive in a close game and like, you know, changing up the plays. It's all just like the bad plays. So go Vikings.
One more thing. I just can't believe that the Bengals didn't do more to their offensive line. I mean, they're still coming in with a pretty bad offensive line. And like when you have Joe Burrow, who's especially coming off an injury, it's just so dumb. I mean, he's the star of this team. He's the only thing that's going to keep him out of the gutter. Poor offseason from them.
And like their crown addition was Riley Reiff, who he wasn't even good in Minnesota last year.
Yeah,
or, for years, for that matter. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, not great things going on there. And I think it's just kind of how the organization runs the team. Like the ownership kind of prioritizes profit over winning football. Which
bring back Marvin Jones?
No thanks. No, that's there. God, you almost put me to sleep there. My best bet, the New York Jets getting 4.5 points.
Jets.
4.5 points on the road at the Panthers. That total is
44.
44, which I also do like the over here. It's simple. Adam Gase is not calling plays. Adam Gase is not on the sideline anymore. There, for someone who, there's something to be said about the culture of a team where you go from someone as unenthusiastic and overall just like bleh. That's what I saw on the sideline when I was just from my own couch. And like, it's hard to gauge what like the players were like. There's just a lack of complete energy, and I think it showed in performance. Like, you got defensive assistants calling the cover zero, and then you just lose on a last second Hail Mary to the Raiders. That stuff's not happening with Robert Saleh. I think he is possibly the complete opposite of Adam Gase. Like, he's fiery and he knows how to like lead a football team. Now, aside from all this like narrative garbage that I just spewed right there, the team got improved this year. I think that Zach Wilson from Sam Darnold is a huge upgrade at quarterback. I think their O-line is just going to get better at with time. They added another rookie guard. They have Mekhi Becton on the line too. They're no longer giving force feeding Frank Gore the ball. and they have like good talent at receiver too. And that's offensively. Defensively, I think what Saleh brings is invaluable. They're instantly going to be better on defense. They get CJ Mosley back. The secondary is fine. I think Marcus May is good. You know, there's question marks at corners and stuff like that, but the D-line should be better. Another year of hopeful Quinnen Williams improvement. It sucks that Carl Lawson is hurt, but he would have been a huge addition. But and not that I'm not down on the Panthers per se, but I just don't think they should be laying this many points, especially with all of, like, the question that surround them. They have offensive weapons up the ass, but Sam Darnold, like, he hasn't really shown enough consistency to warrant laying 4.5 points. And while I do like Matt Rhule, and Joe Brady for that matter, something's lacking. And I don't know. I just think it's far too many points. Jets are winning this game, and they are making the playoffs this year. Go Jets. James, what do you think?
Some hot takes in there.
Follow that up.
He threw in that last bit. It's kind of quiet.
Follow that.
Honestly, I lean the other way. I don't know. I mean, the Gase effect is real. We've seen it everywhere he's gone with Tannehill. Some of the other quarterbacks he's had, and just franchises he's had, but I don't have a lot on this game. This is a game I looked at and just really wanted no part in, but I guess both you guys like the Jets, so go Jets.
Hell yeah.
I circled this game as Sam Darnold revenge game, and then I put an eye emojis next to it, and then I started to think about it, and now it's 4.5, but I wrote down Sam Darnold is really favored by 5.5 points here. Like, has that ever happened before? I don't know how we can expect that he's a different quarterback than what he was on the Jets. Here's a stat. Since 2018, there are 27 quarterbacks who have played 1,000 plays. He's dead last in EPA per play, and he's the only quarterback with a negative EPA per play. I agree with all the sentiments that Chaz said. The Jets have got better at O-line, receiver. They've upgraded a quarterback. They've upgraded a coach. I just don't think Darnold should be favored by this many points here. And with the Jets' strength being their D-line and the Panthers not exactly having the best O-line, if they put Darnold under pressure, Jets got it. So I think Jets are very live in this game, and I love them at 4.5, too.
I want to say something real quick, though. If you're going to play the Gase card for the Jets, why can't you also use that with Darnold?
That's fair. But
that is fair.
I also don't think – I don't know if No, that's a good point. Which I would expect Sam Darnold improvement just because he's out from under the Adam Gase kind of regime. But that's also why I'm betting the over. I bet over 43.5, and So I expect points to be in this game. I just don't. I think that the Jets are more likely to get stops due to defensive improvement and just a lackluster Panthers O-line. So go Jets. James, your best bet. In the news today, the Baltimore Ravens laying 4 Monday night at the Las Vegas, I almost said Oakland, at the Las Vegas Raiders. James, what are your thoughts here? I know you aren't super excited about this anymore just because they lost 2 pretty kind of important pieces to torn ACLs at the same practice. But what are your thoughts?
I heard it was actually back-to-back plays, if you can believe it or not. But
wow, really?
Yeah, what are the odds of that? Yeah, but I'm riding the Ravens -4. I see some mismatches in this game, and it comes at the line of scrimmage. The Raiders last year were 24th in rush defense. And on the other side of the ball, the Ravens were first, and they ran for over 3,000 yards. There's a lot of turnover on the offensive line, which does give me a little bit of concern, but they do get Ronnie Stanley back from injury, which is big. And the other part of this handicap, too, is John Harbaugh in the preseason week one is a lock. His last 4 years, he's won 38-6, 59-10, 47-3, and 20-0 in week one. So 4 points on the road doesn't really scare me. I don't think the Raiders did a lot to improve this offseason. What scares me a little bit, besides the turnover on the offensive line, obviously the lack of depth at running back now, is that home field. I'm curious to see if it is rocking like it's supposed to be in that dome and if it is that loud. But even if it is, I trust Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh to make the right adjustments at half. And I think the Ravens roll.
Austin, what do you think?
I didn't write down much for this game. I did see that Harbaugh stat, how good he is in week one. I'm with James. I also fear that home field. I'm kind of a little high on the Raiders this year though. I like that they added Ngakoue, they added Casey Hayward. But that being said, their defense still isn't great. D-line and secondary are kind of weak. I think they're actually kind of an over team this year. In a game like this where we're getting 50.5, I kind of lean the over. I don't know, to be honest, it's a pass for me, but I'm cool with the Ravens -4.
I lean Ravens. I think that do you guys think that even more money could come in on the Raiders?
Yes.
I don't know. Does it really get off 4?
Yeah, because Marcus Peters is super important. He's an All-Pro corner.
Agreed.
And it immediately moved half a point. But
the Ravens will get some love Monday, I bet. Yeah. They'll be very public on Monday. So I could see it going down for a day, maybe two, and then come Sunday, Monday, I think it kicks back up a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair.
I bet that total could move, though. I bet it gets to 51, being into 15.5 right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad call. Also, 51 is a key total number, correct?
Yep.
There you go. All right, we covered our best bets. To recap, Austin with the Vikings -3. Myself, JETS, Jets, +4.5. They're going to win that game too. And James Bitter with the Baltimore Ravens -4 Monday Night Football. There you have it. Before we kick it to the rest of the Sunday games, just a quick word from our sponsor. All right. Man, I'm excited for Sunday.
First shout game. Out Anchor. Shout out Anchor, by the way.
Shout out Anchor. Of course. Steelers at the Buffalo Bills. Bills are laying 6.5. Total at 48. Austin, I believe you said it was going to be a windy game, right?
Yeah, we're supposed to see 15 miles per hour, I believe.
All right, Austin, kick us off. Where are you leaning here?
I'm leaning Steelers. It's going to be a pass for me. But really, I'm looking back at last season where these two teams faced off in week 14. Steelers were 2.5-point favorites at home. And now we're looking at this game and what, it's 6.5. I just don't think this line change is warranted. Steelers were limping into that game and now we're seeing them healthy. And the spread is all the way up to 6.5. I would want to bet the Steelers, but I have no idea what we're going to see from the Steelers offense. Their O-line is pretty much brand new and it's most likely going to be bottom half in the league. They got a new offensive coordinator, Matt Canada. He's supposed to be a plus EV play caller, but you know, I just don't know what to expect on week one. Just too much unknowns. And yeah, the other thing that's scaring me is just the fact that I think the Bills are probably the second best team in the league. I think they're an offensive juggernaut. But this is kind of a bad matchup for them, just being that Steelers' strength is their defense and the fact that TJ Watt just got paid. He'll definitely be playing. So in a game where the Steelers, it's strength versus strength, 6.5 points seems like a lot.
James, what about you?
I agree with everything Austin said, and I'm willing to change this from a lean to a like to me. So I think I'm actually going to play this if it stays at 6.5. The line movement just doesn't make sense to me. I think a lot of the public just loves the Bills right now. They were kind of the fairy tale team with the Browns last year, and I think that's kind of just driven this market all the way up. 6.5 seems like a few too many to me. And if I'm getting like almost a touchdown with Tomlin as an underdog where he thrives, it's a spot I really like him in. We saw this game last year. The Steelers came in undermanned, just super banged up on defense, a lot of injuries, and they ended up 23-15. They kept it within a score. With full health here, I think they can stay within six for sure.
Yeah, like that was kind of like the week two of the end for the Steelers, where they got absolutely screwed by the schedule. And they were it just like injuries mounted up. And after starting, what they started, like 11-1, 11-0?
I think it was 11-0.
That's insane. It didn't help that like Big Ben couldn't throw the ball more than 4 yards and all these injuries and stuff. But they're still a good team. And I feel like now that we are kind of like a year removed, I feel like the overall sentiment of the Steelers is down. I mean, I think I was advocating that the Steelers could be in line for the number one pick. I don't really think that anymore. I think their team is just way too talented for that. But I did bet a 7 a couple weeks ago. I don't like it as much anymore, but I'm backing the Steelers here. Wind will play in their favor. If the offense is at all like any better, then with that talent at receiver and at running back, I just think they're going to be able to score enough to keep it the Bills. Plus, TJ Watt got big money today. It's good to have him back. Should be a confidence booster. What would you guys say to an under 48?
I would like it. I'd consider playing it. I don't know. I think the Steelers and the under are potentially correlated here. I think if the Bills start scoring, I don't think the Steelers keep up, but
that makes sense.
Yeah. I definitely lean to the under.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if that wind holds up, especially, but if that wind does hold up, that number is just going to keep dropping.
That's true. Jags traveling to Houston, take on the Texans. Texans getting 3 points, and the total is sitting at 45.5. James, I'll kick it to you to start. What are we thinking here?
I'm thinking I'm not watching this game for a second.
Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I actually
know. Tyrod Taylor.
if you're making a round robin, I think the Texans plus 150 on the money line could be worth a stab, but no clue. Oh, actually, I have no idea.
Gross. So I was telling you guys this the other day. I think that this Texans roster is one of the worst rosters I've ever seen in any American sports league, like my entire life. They are going to be, it's a collection of like Randall, we can, when we get to the Packers, we can like talk about that kind of like these deals, but Randall Cobb was on this team and they traded him. And I think he was supposed to be their number two receiver this year. Which, like, I think Brandon Cooks is pretty good. Thank goodness he's on that team, because he is the only person on that offense who has any talent. And I think that they're definitely gonna have the worst offense this year, and their defense might be even worse. It's that roster is so devoid of talent; it is incredible. I'm really struggling to bet on them, but I think their defense is going to be so bad that the Jags can kind of pick their number. I don't think the Jags defense is good enough to keep the Texans below 10 points. Although if they do keep the Texans below 10 points, I will be laying any number against the Texans for at least a month or two, because there's no way. I think they are almost a shoe-in for 0-17, which
Jesus, that's
a... I think they're that bad. But the Jags do have questions though, but I do like the over 45 or 45 and a half, I guess.
All right,
Austin, what do you think?
Following those sentiments, I'm on the I'm on the Texans. Well, first, yes, this roster is atrocious. I'm looking at it right now. Running backs are really good a couple of years ago between Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay, and David Johnson. So the team is highlighted by veterans. I believe before the preseason, they had 36 veterans on their squad. I think now they have 30 plus veterans on their 52-man roster, which for a team as bad as Chaz just displayed is a joke. They should have a lot more younger talent. But that being said, that might play a bit of an advantage in this game where week one of the season, veterans are fighting for starting roles. They're fighting for this team. Versus a Jags team that has a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback making their first NFL start. They didn't look great in preseason. Jags also have two corners on the injury report this week. I'm taking a stab at the Texans. Also, week one home underdogs in division games have converted at a 78% clip, 18-5 against the spread. I think this game reminds me a lot of Colts Jags last year, where the Jags got one of their only wins of the year. It was their only win of the year. And I think this is going to be the Texans' only win of the year. So go Texans.
Braver than me. Much braver than me.
And I also can't take the over because I can't see Houston scoring.
Like, I can't see either team scoring.
I just like this game, just like as James said, is going to be disgusting. I don't really want to watch it.
Well, the Jags.
I hope it's never on red zone.
The Jags have talent on offense. Like, okay, they have a good receiving core. Trevor Lawrence is like, he's good. And the Texans are not going to be able to get any pressure whatsoever on him. So I think the Jags are going to be able to move the ball. And, like, James Robinson's good, too. He can run. And the Jags' O-line isn't great, but that doesn't matter when you're facing the Texans. So maybe the Jags' team total over is the move for me.
That's not a bad look.
Cardinals traveling to Tennessee to take on the Titans. Here it is. The Titans are lane three. Sorry. Totals at 52.5. James, I'll kick it to you first. What do you think?
I like the Cardinals plus +3. I think they win this game. Honestly, more than anything, I know you guys aren't high on the Titans. I really like the Titans, but this is more a play on the Cardinals for me. I like the Cardinals a lot this year. High on that offense. I think the defense takes a step forward after a tough year last year. And I don't like the Titans defense, even though I really, really like this offense. I think the best play, Austin's going to take it out or go into more depth with it. But I like the Cardinals team total over. I think they do what they want on offense and score at will. So that's my angle.
I'll just take it over from that. Yeah, I lean Cardinals too. I like Cardinals plus +3, but my best play here will be Cardinals team total over. Mainly, as James said, this Titans defense is just atrocious. One of the worst pass defenses in the league last season. And this was while facing one of the easier schedules in the league. Now they got rid of Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler. They lost Clowney as well. I just don't think this defense is going to be good. Kyler can spread out the field, and I just don't think the Titans will have an answer for him. I also kind of like the narrative of an offensive-minded coach and Cliff Kingsbury having just extra time to prepare. I wouldn't be surprised if the over is just a great look too. But give me the Cardinals team total just because I just prefer them scoring. I don't know if Chaz is going to get into it, but there's also rumors that AJ Green is back. Apparently he's looked tremendous in camp. And I even heard the quote that he's looking similar to Hopkins when he's on the field. So we'll see how that, we'll see how that goes. But Cardinals team total over is my play.
I'm a sucker for the best shape of his life. So give me all of the AJ Green props. Cardinals plus +3 is my second favorite play of the week. I'm actually kind of excited for this team this year. And I this is coming from someone who's not a huge Cliff Kingsbury guy, but I think there's a bunch of talent on defense. You say what you want about JJ Watt. I still think he's still pretty solid against the run. And I mean, he's still a good player. And then there's so much talent at linebacker. And I think the secondary is going to be really good. So it's, I think we'll see improvement on defense, and Chandler Jones is back. And I'm excited for the offense, and like Kyler's healthy. We get, the Cardinals are a team you back early in the season, because once Kyler starts getting nicked up a bit, then he kind of, his play starts to dip down a bit. But while he's up and healthy, there's few quarterbacks who can do what he do. So it's got me excited back the Cardinals, and I'm fading the Titans this year. So, next game. Los Angeles Chargers taking on the Washington football team. This game is a pick right now, or is it plus Chargers plus one?
Plus one, Chargers.
Chargers plus one. Total at 44 and a half. The football team is my favorite win total. Under, I think I bet under eight and a half. James, you can start. What are we thinking here?
I'm thinking this is my favorite teaser legs of the week. If you can find a Chargers plus one and tease that to seven, ooh, I'm a big fan of that. Being a Chargers fan my entire life and just kind of following even when they've gone to Los Angeles, you know the stat. Every game they play is a one-score game, whether it's the, a win or a loss. Every and then on the other time. Side of the ball, it seems like it. Washington's not a team exactly that wins by getting margin. Phenomenal defense. I just don't trust that offense. And Fitzmagic will have his moments, but they're not really dynamic offensively. I see kind of a low-scoring game here. I lean Chargers just to win the game, but if I'm catching seven here with any other leg on the board, big fan of that.
I completely agree with that one. Yeah, I'm all over the teaser leg. This game was a complete pass for me. It's kind of just a wait-and-see game for me. I really want to see what Chargers' new head coach looks like, and then I really want to see how Fitzpatrick looks in this offense, because – I do really love the Washington wideouts, although I heard Curtis Samuel's hurt, so that might be interesting. But if he's healthy with Terry, the offense does have potential, especially with Antonio Gibson. But in this game, I want no part of it. I just think Washington's defense is too good. Some unknowns from the Chargers. But at plus seven, I think that's perfect. I really like that.
Yeah. I that was completely off my radar until now. And I just made a Chargers Niners teaser. I have a hard time saying this just because of history, but I think the Chargers could be like a top 6-7 team this year. The roster is loaded. And I am going to buy into Brandon Staley. I just hope that we, like, because all you need to do, I feel like the Chargers led in every single game last year, and all they had to do was not piss it away in the fourth quarter. And that's exactly what they did, just because of bad coaching and bad coaching decisions. And I'm hoping, please, Brandon Staley, don't be Anthony Lynn. Don't do it. You're just not going to have a job very long if you do. On the flip side, Ryan Fitzmagic does not move the needle for me. Like, he's good. He's fun. He has good receivers. But if he was that good, he wouldn't be bouncing around from team to team his entire career. The defense is going to be special, or the D-line anyways, and the O-line will be good. So, like, he's got the pieces around him to elevate his performance. But over – it just I guess this is more of a broader look at the team. I don't know if they have the also I'm not a big Ron Rivera fan. It's incredible what he did last year, like persevering through cancer treatment and all that stuff, but I don't think he's necessarily on the level of a head coach that you need to handle all the big expectations that they seem to be getting this year. So I do lean Chargers, and I do really like that teaser leg. Philadelphia Eagles.
What? One of the most just wild, like, just hot takes about head coaches. I mean, I think Ron Rivera is a phenomenal coach. I mean, the way he led that team to the division last year. I hear what you're saying about
phenomenal. Okay, they had a losing record.
Well, they won the division, and their quarterback last year. I had no idea who it was ever week to week. I mean, I think what they did was a good job, but I hear you what you're saying.
It is. No, like, it was incredible what he did. I said that.
A team with high expectations. I hear what you're saying. It's tougher to believe that Ron Rivera is going to lead this team to 9-10 wins.
Yeah, I don't think he's that hot of a take. My Jets take is hot.
Just like last year with your Zimmer takes. I'm just, and the fact that you predicted Doug Peterson to get fired, like you have a different thing with coaches, and you're usually right.
I love hearing that. Ugh.
Move on.
Hey, speaking of Doug Peterson, Nick Sirianni is taking his Eagles to Atlanta to take on the Falcons, who are laying 3.5. It's kind of like 3.5, 3 everywhere. What is, do you guys think it's 3 most places?
Yeah, I'm seeing 3 in my bookie right now.
Okay. Total is 48.5. I've kind of been flipping back and forth here, so I'll let you start, Austin.
Okay. Well, you guys are on the Eagles, so I'm going to sort of take a Falcons perspective because I've been flipping as well.
I'm not okay. Right now.
I'm mainly just – I'm high on Arthur Smith, and I think him taking over with the weapons that this Atlanta team has – and the fact that he has a more offensive vision, I just think we're going to see a different Falcons team this season. If the O-line can just be a little average and give Matt Ryan time, I think this offense has a lot of potential. In looking at this game, though, I'm kind of looking more just at the over. I think this is an offense. Both teams here favor their offense and have weaker defenses. Last year, Eagles had one of the worst secondaries in the league, as did the Falcons. I just think at a total at under 50 here just is pretty appealing to me. The fact that the Eagles do have a very strong offensive line, Hurts and having another year here, I just think that they'll be able to control the ground and be able to get theirs as well. So I'm kind of just buying into both offenses, and I'll take the over.
James, what do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree with what Austin said about the over. I was actually going to talk about that after the Eagles. The Eagles isn't really a strong play of mine. It didn't even make my 5 likes, but it's another game. I just like a high variance game for me. I don't really know what to expect from either team. I think both offenses will come out looking pretty good with the additional time in the off season. I think I'm a little higher on the Eagles than the Falcons. And it's not saying a whole lot because I'm not super high on the Eagles all for the season, but I just like Hurts week 1 and another year under his belt. So looking at +3 and that over.
Yeah. I could disagree a little bit. I think I'm looking at the under here. I think that it's a little, a couple points too high. I feel like this should be 47, 46 ish kind of. I think that the Falcons defense, like it's healthy and thus it should be better than it was last year. And on top of that, the Eagles defense, it's weird. So I think there's a lot of talent. I think they're very deep at D-line. And I think that there's potential in the secondary if you kind of get like resurgent years from players like a Darius Slay, for example, which he may very well just be washed. So like if you do kind of get this resurgence of talent, I think you can contain a high-flying Falcons passing attack, like then again, I can definitely see the look for the over. Like the skill talent on both teams is just very exciting. Now you get Pitts and Devontae Smith coming in. I expect big jumps for Jalen Hurts, like Jalen Rager, just, you know, Matt Ryan has like, you know, it's, and then I do agree. I think Arthur Smith kind of, he moves the needle, right? Just as a play caller and just as a play designer. So, oh, no. I guess I'll pass on side and total. There you go. That's fun. Gun to my head, I'll take the points, I guess. But let's move on to another bird team. The Flying Seahawks are going to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. Colts are getting 3 at home, and the total is at 49.5. One thing I think is interesting is that Wentz got hurt, and this immediately flipped from what I think was Colts -2.5 to Seahawks -2.5. And I don't, and now that I think, I believe I saw Wentz is suiting up, he's going to play.
Yep.
And it did not flip back. Practice. And it did not flip back, right? Is Quentin Nelson going to play?
He's limited. Eric Fisher's looking unlikely.
Got it. do you think there's value then on the Colts at plus three?
No.
Yeah, right. No.
I mean, my thing is, yes, I think it's the line did flip when Wentz got hurt. But what we're kind of forgetting is the fact that Wentz really has had no time in camp. He's had not a lot of time being healthy with this team. And I think adding to the fact that they have two guards hurt, Quentin Nelson and Danny Pinter, I don't know who that is. And then Eric Fisher, I heard, was unlikely to play. Just adds more uncertainty to that offense. Add in that they have a young receiving core with T.Y. Hilton also hurt. It's just, I don't know what to expect out of this Colts offense, even though the Seattle defense is awful, which makes me like the over. I don't know if James is going to touch on it, but Shane Waldron comes in as their offensive coordinator. And Seattle has said that they're supposed to be playing at a higher tempo this season, with Wilson with the ability to audible at the line. I think the Seattle offense could be pretty explosive this season. So I think Seattle's going to be able to get theirs. And the fact that I did start this saying how much I don't trust the Colts offense, but the fact that Seattle doesn't have a good defense, I think the Colts can also get theirs. I wrote down over as my play here. And then I would lean Seattle just because I have a better time trusting their offense over the Colts'.
James, what do you think?
It's starting to sound like an echo chamber because he literally took the words out of my mouth. I was going to start talking about the up-tempo and letting Russ do his thing, but he's right. So that leads me to the Seahawks minus three, and I lean to the over. You trust that Colts offense a little more than I do. I don't really have any faith right now, especially like you said, no practice time for Wentz and time to really gain that continuity. So I know what I have in the Seahawks. The Colts are still an unknown to me, and I'm willing to gamble on that. In addition, Pete Carroll has been very good in East Coast starts time against the spread. Going into last year, it says here he was 12-7-3, and I think we backed him a few times in the East Coast, and I think he covered every time, except for the Bills game. So I think he went 3-1 there too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's pretty good on the East Coast. Now, so the early start does not scare me.
All right, yeah, that was all pretty fair. I don't really have a whole lot to add. Niners traveling to Detroit to take on Dan Campbell and the Lions. Lions are getting 7.5 points, and the total is at 45. I'll start. I think that it's funny. Whenever like the easily like shit on coach gets hired, I don't know what it is, but like I kind of want to root for him just to like see kind of like laugh at everyone. But it's Dan Campbell is going to make it really hard for me to do that. I think he's funny. He's like, I don't know, but I just don't see it translating to much football success. It's the year's 2021. I don't know if like the football guy thing kind of works well anymore. On the flip side, I imagine we're getting, the Niners even announced a quarterback? Is it going to be Jimmy G?
It'll be Jimmy G.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Trey Lance is hurt, right?
I don't know. I hope not.
Well, yeah. I think he might have like.
You're right. He was limited in practice. Yeah, limited like in practice today.
I'm curious. What's like your outlook on the Niners? I imagine we all think the Niners are kind of gonna do what they want here, right?
Are you saying for the season or for this game?
For this game, like, do any of you guys think that like the Lions are gonna keep it within 7.5?
No, but like, I don't want to lay that on the road. So this is just another one of my teaser legs. I really like this one. So if the Lions do pull off the impossible and win this game, it will be a bad week for me, but go Niners.
I think the Niners blow them out of the water. I think there's just a huge coaching mismatch here with the fact that Shanahan has extra time to prepare. I forgot to add this stat earlier, but rookie head coaches are 1-14 straight up and 4-11 against the spread since 2018. So going to be a tough first game for Dan Campbell, especially against a really good Niners team. The fact that starting tackle Taylor Decker has been out of practice is going to lead to Goff under pressure. And with this Niners D line, we know what Goff under pressure is like. Goff has seen this Niners team very frequently, and he usually loses to them, which leads me to my favorite bet, which is Goff to throw an interception. I think I'm going to bet that every single week this year. The fact that this Lions team is going to be trailing like crazy through most of the season, Goff coming from behind, throwing the ball, enjoy the NFL because this is probably his last season in it.
Oh, no.
He doesn't have many years left. He's going
to he's a relatively young guy. He's going to be able to at least be a backup quarterback somewhere.
No, agreed. Enjoy your starting time because I think this season is going to be horrible for him. I just don't think Jared Goff is a good quarterback, and he's up for a real awakening now that he's lost McVay.
I think it's very fair to make those comments because I don't think Jared Goff is super good or anything, but I could see him having like a pretty like statistically good year. They're just going to be losing the whole time every True. Game. So like he can just chuck it around. I kind of like his receiving court too. Like I like Hockenson. I like Amon-Ra. No, he's got fun pieces around him. He's got like good receiving backs. So, and also I don't think the O-line is horrible. Taylor Decker being hurt right away obviously doesn't help, but I don't think it's completely devoid of talent. Like, I don't know who has a bad O-line. Let's just go. No, the Texans still have Tunsil, right? Or is he with the Dolphins now? Or did he come from the Dolphins?
He came from the Dolphins.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
They do have Ragnow and Penny Sewell, but Taylor Decker is going to be out this week.
Yeah.
Can we go back to you? I don't think, like, I hate their wideouts. Like, I don't think they have fun wideouts. Like, you named Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good.
We're talking
about the Lions.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Like, I mean, it's not they like I'm not holding them up to the same level as the Chiefs.
I think it's the worst wideout unit in the NFL. Like, I think
the Patriots awful. Are way worse, just off the top of my head.
I'll take Jacoby Myers over Tyrell Williams, the number one receiver. And they added Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. You're wrong there.
We
don't need to argue this, but we will monitor the team. I'm interested to see Jared Goff. David Blau, get ready to suit up.
One more note on this game. If you like this teaser, I'm seeing an 8.5 on another book I'm on. So I think this moves pretty similar to the game we're going to see tonight in the Bucks-Cowboys game. And books are going to start moving that to 9.5 for teaser protection. So get those 7.5, 8.5 as soon as you can.
It's already happening with the Rams too.
Yeah, is it? Yeah. I mean, the difference between 7.5 and 9.5 is not much between those numbers, but the difference between 1.5 and 3.5 is pretty significant. So,
yep.
All right. What's next?
Best game of the slate.
Oh, yes. Browns. Browns at the Chiefs. Chiefs are laying 6. Totals at 54.5. Wow, this is a really good game. I'm actually excited to watch this. Do the Browns have a chance to win here and establish themselves as in that like elite tier of NFL football teams?
Yes.
Are you taking the 6?
I'm taking the over. I love the over, but okay. I think they're very live to win this game. I take it back. I'm taking the over and I'm not betting the Browns. I'm betting the Browns to win the AFC. I just think if you look at the schedule coming up, especially with Ravens losing these injuries, players of injury, Browns have a very favorable schedule coming up compared to the Chiefs, who have Ravens, Bills, Chargers, and Eagles in the next couple weeks.
Wow, that's brutal.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a number like this again, especially after week 5.
And
if the Browns win this game, then it's – you can get a really they'll have a lot of a much higher probability.
Hope the Chiefs go like 2-2 too, and then come back and bet the Chiefs. Ooh, I like that a lot. I like the over. I mean, we saw how bad this is showing how unprepared I am. They were either really bad at rush defense or pass defense last year, and either way I think the Browns will be very good in both. And while I think that the Browns kind of improved their defense overall, the secondary got better. Just overall health too. I mean, maybe Greedy Williams will finally play a game. It was him and Adoree Jackson. We could just never get it right. But I agree. I think there could be a bunch of points here. So I do like to look at the over. James, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not gonna play the under. I certainly lean the over in Andy Reid week one is always a strong friend. His offense has come out swinging. So
Arrowhead's gonna be rocking as well. Something to monitor though. Chiefs have 4 offensive line pieces on the injury report. Three of them did fully participate. Which another thing I didn't add earlier, I don't know how, but the Seahawks have over 15 guys on the injury report.
That it's like the same thing happened last year too. How does that even happen?
I don't know, but Rashad Penny's coming back, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
It's not even week one yet. Dolphins at the Patriots. I do like that Browns win the AFC angle. That's good. Dolphins getting 3 points on the road, heading up to New England. Total is at 43.5. Are we buying into Tua this year? James, I'll kick it to you first. And Mac Jones.
I'm skeptical. But like, I think he's getting more freedom. I've heard reports that last year he had to stick with what was called at the line of scrimmage, and he was not allowed to have the freedom to like make his own play calls. So I think he's gonna have some more freedom this year and a little more decision making on his own. So that could certainly help him. He's gotten more weapons now, obviously has the continuity with Waddle. There's definitely a strong chance he makes a big leap in a second year, but I'm curious to see what he looks like.
I'm buying in. I like Tua. I think just another year under this offense and another year of recovery. Let's not forget he had that huge hip surgery just the year before. I just think another year in this offense with that kind of receiving core, Tua does have potential. And then to add to your other question, I really like that the Patriots went the Mac Jones route. As much as I love Cam Newton and Killa Cam, and he was my star on my fantasy team that didn't make the playoffs, they had to move a different direction. Cam was not the future. And if Bill's going to win one in these next couple of years, when he's still the time is right for him, he's got to move and look for a rookie quarterback. And I think they'll be able to open the field up a little bit more with Mac Jones. So I'm high on both of them.
I think there are reasons for optimism. I heard Ryan Fitzpatrick did in an interview recently, and he said that last year while he was in Miami, the whole offseason plan was for him to start the full year. Tua was not supposed to play, and then like a couple weeks went by, and they're like, let's just throw him in there. So that means that like Tua had an entire training camp where like he had no expectations to play. And like on top of that, he probably was still a little banged up with the hip. So I do think that we should see some kind of some like level of improvement. Plus his receiving core got way better. Not that it will really go into full effect this game, because Will Fuller is suspended, I believe. But I think long-term it's looking pretty positive for him. And I agree with Mac Jones. He looked really good in the preseason. And there are things to be excited about.
After this game, what do you think?
I was gonna say I kind of just talked myself off the under. So I found what I'm replacing it with, but lean Dolphins. I just want to take points here. What would you guys say?
I lean the Patriots.
Okay.
Mainly because I think they can win the trenches. There's Dolphins, I think, have a COVID concern on their O-line. O-line in general is going to be an issue for them this season. And the Patriots added D-line pieces. I think that they're going to have Tua in a lot of hell. Not to mention their O-line is so solid on the Pats side of the ball. I think they'll be able to win the game through the ground, because the Dolphins do have a very solid secondary. Going to be tough for the Mac Jones, considering that it's his first start, and he's going against a defense as good as the Dolphins. I'm going to lean Patriots just because they're battling the trenches, but just a lot of uncertainty just because of Stephon Gilmore's out as well. Just don't really know what I'm going to see out of the Patriots.
I think that's
– okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say I think that's all fair. I still kind of like the under – I just see this game playing out where the Patriots kind of play close to the vest early and get Mac Jones comfortable and just get him moving around a little bit. And like you said, that offensive line is Definitely a boost from where it was last year. And I think they kind of just dominate the trenches as well. So I see that clock moving. And like we talked about earlier, Tua, you guys are a little higher on than me right now. It's more of a wait and see. I just think it's gonna be tough for him right now to go to Foxborough and play that well. So I kind of like that under.
All right. The Denver Broncos traveling to New York to take on the Giants. Giants getting 3 at home. Total is at 41.5. Austin, you have a like on this game?
I do. It was a bigger like when Bradley Chubb was fully practicing. I don't like that he didn't practice yesterday. I don't know about his status today. But the biggest handicap is I think Chubb and Von Miller against this weak Giants O-line could pose just a big problem for Daniel Jones. Evan Ingram's looking unlikely. I think Barkley's going to be eased back into the game. I'm just not too worried about this Giants offense. I like the fact that the Broncos played their starters throughout the preseason. I'm hearing a lot of good things about Teddy, which I didn't think I would. I might even take the under just because the Giants secondary is very solid and we'll keep the game in close. But for the most part, I'm going to take the Broncos.
James, what do you think?
Yeah, I lean to the Broncos. The under would be my play here if I play it. It's just not a game that really interests me. I don't see that much value left in the Broncos, especially now that they're -3 on the road. They've taken a lot of money the last few days. But the under would be the play here for me. Like you said, you highlighted it. Broncos can get pressure, and the Giants secondary is pretty strong. So,
yeah, kind of agree. I think I lean Giants for sure here. I'm more confident in their defense, and I don't know. This Giants offense is – the O-line is going to struggle, and that could not be very good going up against healthy Von Miller and just an overall good defense elsewhere. I believe that Denver is going to have very bad coverage linebackers this year, so Evan Ingram props, especially maybe like over on receptions if they're trying
he's
to
out.
Run him. Like,
he's out. He's
no way.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, oh, dang. That's a bummer. Never mind, then. I take it back. Well, then maybe Kyle Rudolph. I believe he's on the roster. Let's move on.
Hurt.
No way.
He's limited.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. And their third tight end, Caden Smith, also limited. So.
All right. And Kenny Galladay's, wow. Giants also team total limited. Under, maybe. Yeah. Well, I don't think he's going to play.
Wow.
That's missing a lot. And
that Giants offense is going to be bad.
Yeah. Saquon is going to get abused again. Oh, my God.
But they might even just limit him, though. Like, I
just put him on a pitch count.
Yeah. I mean, this could be a secret play of us. I kind of don't hate the Giants team total under.
You like that? Yeah. Plus, tempo will be moving really slow, probably. And all right. I'm on board. Green Bay Packers, which for facing, what's technically a Saints home game. I believe this game is being played in Jacksonville.
Yep,
it is.
Okay. Saints getting 4. Total is at 49.5. This was my fifth like. I like the over in this game. And really what it comes down to is I think that we're going to see a more explosive Saints offense. Regardless of like Michael Thomas is hurt, of course, and their receiving core is absolutely thin. But the fact that Sean Payton gets to call plays where a quarterback can throw it more than 10 yards is a huge boost for the Saints offense overall. I have no worries about Sean Payton's ability to scheme easy 5-yard passes for Jameis if he wants that. And I have no worry about Jameis's ability to dump it off to Alvin Kamara to let him do his thing. The O-line is going to be incredible once again. I actually think that there, I have some questions about Saints, kind of like secondary, health and talent outside of a couple players, and against the Packers, that is not just not going to go well against Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams. I'm curious what your guys' thoughts here are, just on the Saints and Packers overall and on in this game.
Well, typically for me, Week 1, Week 2 is just auto fade for Saints. But usually it's in a favorite role, and obviously it's been Drew Brees for, the last 15 years. So now that they have Jameis Winston and they're 4-point dogs and on basically a neutral site, it makes me lean to the Packers. It's I don't know what happens the first 2 weeks of the season. Maybe Sean Payton used them as like just kind of like a trial and error, just like what works, what doesn't, almost like an additional two preseason games. But I think the Packers come out here and get the points up. And on the other side, we've seen Jameis Winston when trailing, it turns into points galore. So obviously that lends well to your over. So I think if I had to play here, it'd probably be Packers minus the points in the over.
I'm kind of leaning Saints way. I think something that isn't talked about enough is that the Packers O-line is different. Lindsley and Wagner are both gone, and Bakhtiari will not be playing this game. Saints have a very solid D-line. I think they could take a lot of advantage of the Packers here. And then I think the unknown of Jameis could be a positive for the Saints. It totally could open up this offense. We've seen the Drew Brees dink and dunk safe offense that has worked the last couple of years, but there's a lot of talent on that Saints team. I can see Sean Payton really drawing up plays that help out Jameis, especially with even in throwing in Taysom Hill to throw in different schemes and different quarterbacks out there. I kind of like the Saints. And if the game was in the Superdome, I would really like them. It's just a little bit more unknown being that it's in Jacksonville and the fact that they have two corners on the injured list, including Lattimore. They're not going to have Roby this week. So they're pretty thin there, which does help the over. I'm pretty surprised that over is at only at 50. I would have thought it'd be at 51 by now. So I would lean Saints, and then I would probably go with that over as well.
And don't forget, guys, Jameis Winston got LASIK surgery, so he's going to see the linebackers underneath now, and it's he's going to be the first to 6,000 passing yards in the season. So go Saints. And finally, the Sunday night game, the Chicago Bears traveling to Los Angeles to take on the Rams, who, I mean, it's like on BetOnline, it's -9 +105. I guess fair market price would say 8.5. Totals at 46.5. I believe you guys like the first half under, right?
Yep.
Is that just 23.5, 24?
Yeah, I got 23.5.
Okay. Talk about that.
Bears have one of the worst O-lines in the NFL. Certainly not ideal for Andy Dalton, especially when the Rams have a very solid defensive line and defense in general. I just think they're going to be able to control the Bears all game, particularly the first half. Bears D-line pieces can keep the game close to start, especially with Whitworth possibly not playing this game. They've also faced Stafford multiple times before, so it could be a little extra just experience. But the real bet on the first half is because I don't think Andy Dalton's a very good quarterback. I don't think they're going to be able to move the ball at all. And chances are the Rams are going to be up 17-3 at the end of the first half. And then it will be the Justin Fields show. And I want no part of Justin Fields storming a comeback in the second half and putting up points against a quarterback that isn't schemed for. So I'll just take the first half under when it's Andy Dalton. And that'll be my main play here.
What about you, James?
I don't think they're bringing Fields here. I think they stick to their guns at least for the first week or two. And then when it gets so bad, eventually they're like, they give in to peer pressure. But obviously I'm going to tease the Rams down here. I'm still seeing a 7.5 on one of my books, which is very nice. I'm going to take advantage of that while I still have it. In addition to that, I'm going to look at the Bears team total under. I just think Dalton, that offense is really bad. And I love this Rams defense.
Yeah, I think that the Rams defense is really good. There's not a whole bunch of depth there, but regardless, the Bears O-line is so bad that Aaron Donald is going to dictate just kind of whatever he wants, which is, I mean, Andy Dalton's at quarterback. We saw what happened with him under center with a banged up offensive line with the Cowboys last year, and it did not go very well for him. How long do you guys think until Justin Fields starts?
Week 3.
I was going to say week 3.
Two quarters.
Yeah, really?
Oh, really?
He's coming in this game. I mean, honestly, the biggest thing that Andy Dalton's got to be thankful for is that this game isn't in Chicago. Because if it was in Chicago, they were booing him in the preseason. Like, yeah. They want Fields.
There's going to be a lot of Bears fans there, though.
They're going to be down. Like
the Rams fans are crazy.
Okay. Yeah. When they're getting booed in the first half at LA, then they'll go to Justin Fields. But I think if it's not this game, it'll be next game when the Bengals are beating them at home.
Ooh, that's bold.
Dalton sucks. What are we doing here?
It doesn't make sense. I don't know why some of these guys play. Maybe you, but like Andy Dalton is the reason why Jared Goff is going to be playing on another team next year. it's stupid and it just happens.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyways, that's the last game. Anything we missed? Anything you guys want to add before we hit it?
I'm looking. No.
All right. Austin gave us a Browns win the AFC. James, you got a future for us?
Working on it.
All right.
Anything right now.
I'm going to say, oh, no. I mean, I gave one too. Just to make the playoffs. Cash it.
Wow.
I think I bet plus 525.
I like it.
In the AFC, that'll be very difficult, but who cares? I'm excited. I'm pumped up. Jets are my squad this year.
I would prefer if you put that money on a number roulette.
That's fair. anyways, follow us at the Sharpside Pod on Twitter and on BetSports, the same username, at the Sharpside Pod. More to come. We got College Football Pod just released this morning, and I will be working on the NFL Pod likely during the Thursday night game. So whether you're listening on Friday, Thursday night, Saturday, whenever, give us a follow, leave a review, follow us on Spotify if you're listening through there. And if there's anything you think we may have missed, any player prop angle, something, we want to hear about it. Tweet at us, DM us, and shout out our guy, Micah Huell. I hope I said the name correctly. He seemed very excited for the NFL Pod today. So hope we did enough for you, Micah. Fourth Sharpside Podcast. It's been fun. NFL is back, baby. Austin, what are we doing?
Let's go win some money.
Let's do it.
Man, I got a...